of parliamentary procedure.
Yeah, valid, horse.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Frown, would you
please do hype in the world? Meet our hero at all. Subtitle, zip it.
Damn it, why? Say it! Say it!
Dad, I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
If I had a dick, this is where I'd tell you to suck it.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. I said good day.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com. The only place to be in your pop culture world.
You're listening to Place to Be Nation Pop's Great Debate, a spirited discussion forum covering topics in the world of movies, music, television, sports, and pop culture. And now, here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of The Great Debate here on the PTBN Pop Feed. I'm your host, Andy Atherton, and thank you for joining me tonight. Well, you know, we've been off for a little while. The last show was a theme show, so it's been a bit since we've had a regular Great Debate. And we have a big announcement about the Great Debate coming at the end of the show, so stick around for that. But tonight, I have all newbies. That's right, new to the show. Guys I haven't had on a proper show, so get some fresh meat out there for you guys. All guys, though, you've heard on various and sundry shows, good guys, good dudes, and let's get him on here so we can get the debating underway. First off, he is known as the Jambalaya Jake over on the wrestling feed. He is one of the co-hosts of PTBN NXT, Mr. Jacob Williams. Jake, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm ready for some great debating as well.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, good debating, okay debating, you know, we allow that kind of stuff here. It doesn't always have to be great, but, you know, I'm glad you're here for great debating.
So we shoot for.
If we shoot for. Like I said before, I aim for mediocrity, and if I go above it, cool. Next
that's
up.
Spirit.
That's right. Next up, he comes from us, another one of our gentlemen from down south, known as the Mississippi Mud Pie, Mr. Logan Crosland. Logan, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us tonight. Logan is also...
appreciate it.
Been on a few shows, and I forgot to mention, he also is one half of our great college football column over on PlaceNation.com, Campus Hot Takes, along with Mr. Scott Criscolo. So check that out once we come back in the late summer, early fall. So also joining us tonight is Mr. Scott Shiflett. Scott, how are you tonight?
Doing great. Just ready to see what everyone thinks, because yeah, I'm probably going to upset some people.
Right? you're not the first or the last person to upset people here at Place to Be Nation, Mr. Ben Locke. Anyway, yeah, I know. I gotta adjust my clock so I could have them on one show. Who knows? And rounding out our fivesome tonight, you've heard him on a few recent shows over on the wrestling feed and the Jenny position, Mr. Sean Kidd. Sean, how are you tonight?
I am good, Andy, and thanks for introducing us as fresh meat. That's always a great introduction, and I'm looking forward to some great debates as well. I like the debate. Scott, maybe you and me both will piss people off. Let's see.
Well, you know, hey, don't at me, guys. Come on. Anyway, so like we do here on The Great Debate, first we talk about a little sports, and later on we will talk about pop culture and end with our always fun rapid fire round. So we're going to start off with something we like to do. Like I said, this is something we cover all four major sports leagues here. It's kind of a general question, but in each of our leagues, what are some moves and plays that you would like to see coaches and managers using, as well as some maybe you'd like to see them stop using? So we're going to start in the NFL, and we're going to start with Mr. Jacob Williams. Jacob, what's some moves or plays in football that you want to see a little more, and something you want them to like basically stop doing?
Overall, I kind of enjoy what's been going on in the NFL. I feel like of all the leagues, the NFL kind of is one of the more innovative leagues. like, I guess because it's so scheme-oriented that guys are always, like, coaches always come up with new things. But I think if I had to say something, so I like that. So I'd like to continue to see them being creative. Like, in the most recent Super Bowl, I thought it had some of the most creative play calling mm-hmm. I've seen in a long time. But one thing, I think part of that is that sometimes I think it gets a little bit too cute. Like, my favorite team is the New Orleans Saints, and they have been known maybe to get a little bit too cute with, for example, a guy, Taysom Hill, who they bring in every now and then. And sometimes I feel like they, like, overuse him. So maybe I think it would be, especially on offense, maybe teams getting a little bit too cute with the play calling, maybe. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all the crazy formations and the Wildcat and all that stuff. And yeah, sometimes you want to see them just, you know, play regular, you know, straight up football. But, you know, there is a place for it. One thing I think where you hit on was that, you know, the innovation, I think, is also we're seeing a lot of younger coaches nowadays. We're seeing guys like, you know what, who want to be players, and they realize fairly early, you know what, I'm not going to make it, but, you know, I got a pretty damn good head for this game, and I'm going to go my way as a coach. Logan, what about you? What do you think?
I'll build off of what Jake said. I really like the you know, the goal line quarterback kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I like when teams you know, kind of change it up a little bit. And I just feel like a lot of teams could use that kind of play call. It just makes it more fun, and, you know, it gets a little bit more interesting.
All right. What's something you like to see them stop doing, though? Like anything that coaches or, you know, play calling or certain things about the football that you want to see go away?
Nothing really coming to mind on that one. I really think the game is good where it's at, you know. I would like to see, you know, the teams continue to innovate and, you know, run different kind of plays, and but nothing really. I think football is kind of in a good place, so I don't think too much needs to change.
All right, Scott, what about you?
We're starting early with me being the odd man out, because I actually want to see more trick plays. I think it's a whole lot more fun in the game. Jacob brought up how he's a Saints fan. I would love when Red Zone would be like, look at this play that Hill just did. And it was great, because more players are better athletes now, and some of them played quarterback at some part of playing football, so they can all sling it. So I like switching it up. One of my favorite plays of the XFL season so far was like a double reverse the defenders did the first week of the season to score a touchdown. I thought it was amazing. It, you know, helps stuff go viral and brings more eyeballs to the game. Some things that I wouldn't want them to do, coaches with 2 minutes left, I don't want them calling timeout anymore. I want only the players on the field can, because I think the coaches get in their own head and ruins the game, and, you know, then it's taken forever, and it ruins the momentum of the players on the field, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally see that. Yeah. Jacob, I didn't ask you, though. Mm-hmm. What's something you like to see them stop doing? Like, what kind of plays in the NFL are you not happy with?
I think, and this almost seems like to contradict what I said earlier, but I think Logan kind of hit on it too, is that some teams can be like a little bit like uncreative of fine. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see, like, it's, I feel like there's a huge gap between teams, because you have some teams that are trying, and I think when it works, I think kind of what Scott was getting at, like the Ravens last season did a lot of awesome, cool stuff with, oh, God, his name's blanking on me. I don't know why.
Lamar Jackson.
I don't know why. But anyway, like, they did a lot of cool stuff. I would like to see some teams maybe stop being so, like, I guess, like, forcing their team to be conservative, mm-hmm. I guess, is a way of putting it. Like, maybe take more risk, if that makes sense.
I don't know. You think that's due to the head coach, like, maybe – I'm not saying age, but, you know, they're old school. They have an old way of thinking. And, you know, they don't look to innovate. They say, this worked in the past. We're just going to keep doing it. We're going to keep pounding the ball down their throat. that kind of stuff. You guys think that? Maybe some of the reason why there's a gap.
Yeah, and also with the younger coaches now, maybe they just play Madden. Like, because I've been playing Madden for 20 years, and like, there's some times where I'm like, yeah, I could probably coach better than them. I would just be playing the game, asking Madden what to play. Like, give me the three play calls, and we'll go from there. So I think it might be that as well.
All right. For me, I would say, like, you know, yeah, more plays like flea flickers, wrinkles, all those kinds of fun things, because that just brings excitement to the game, and, you know, you just can't overuse them. Something they want to see him stop, icing the kicker. That's my biggest pet peeve. The guy's already in his head. I mean, and I'd really love somebody like maybe like Peter Winston to look up how many times that actually works. So we're going to move on, though, to the MLB, and we're going to start with Logan this time. What do you feel about Major League Baseball in terms of plays you like to see more of and plays you like to see less of?
Something I would like to see less of. I'm a big college baseball fan, and my team, Mississippi State, has started using the shift a lot. And I don't think it works out as much as it's supposed to. You know, and it's something that just I don't even understand how it works sometimes, and I would just like to see that done a little less. Something I would like to see more. I would like to see teams get a little more aggressive on the base paths and steal more bases. That's a part of the game that I think is very important, you know, playing some small ball sometimes and, you know, stealing those bases can be very important.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Scott, what about you?
All right. Logan, you had some good points. I hate the shift as well. But one of the ones that I don't like is when they bring in a pitcher just to face one batter. Yes. In later inning games, it kills the momentum of the game. I mean, baseball is already tedious to watch on TV as it is, but it just adds like 20 minutes to the game, and then they bring someone else in, and it's just infuriating. And what I would like to add, something I'd like to see more of, I like to see more feuds in sports. It's what drives it for me. Like Red Sox and Yankees, those were always great to watch, and now everyone's friends. I would like to see more managers throwing at players. I think we're going to see that a lot with the Astros this year. Like, I'm okay with the Astros being, you know, the evil empire, not the seal from the Yankees, but Star Wars. But I think they're going to get hit a lot, as we've already seen in spring training.
They've already been hit quite a number of times. Oh, okay, you were done?
Yeah, sorry.
All right, it's okay. Jacob, what about you and baseball?
Yeah, I don't really watch a ton of Major League Baseball, so I don't want to speak like uninformed, but so I'll just piggyback off of Scott and say maybe we should. I don't know if anybody played that game, Slugfest, which was basically like a NFL Blitz but baseball, where you could like charge the mound and catch on fire and hit people. So maybe we could see more of that in baseball. Maybe is that where you're getting at with the feud, Scott? Maybe.
Yeah,
fighting.
I mean, we're all wrestling fans. But,
yeah, you know, I'd like to see more fighting in baseball. How about that?
Not to, as Tim would say, tell tales as skewel. But it's like you guys ever play Arch Rivals? I think it's like a high school or college basketball game where you either pass, shoot, or punch. that's basically the most. Yeah, it's on Midway, I think. I had a Midway Arcade Treasures collection, and look up Arch Rivals. It's basically just basketball and beating the crap out of each other. That's really all it is. For me, you guys pretty much said what I was going to say. I want to see more small ball. Base stealing is not as important or, you know, valued as it used to be. Like it was back in the 80s and 90s when I was growing up watching it. Now it's everything's about the long ball. And what I want to see less of, is the overmanaging, the bringing in one batter, two thing. And I think they have a rule change, I think, this year where it's a minimum number of pitches, I think, or something. I'd have to look that up. But I think they are trying to make strides. So, Scott, we're going to start with you with the NBA. What do you think over there in the National Basketball Association in terms of plays and some things you like to see, some things you like to go away?
Okay, so I like college basketball infinitely times better than NBA. My favorite team is University of Virginia, and they play defense. So I would just like to see more defense played in the NBA instead of it just being played in the postseason. I know everyone's trying to get their points and everything, but it just drives me crazy how, you know, they'll just beat them for a layup or a jump shot. I just want to see defense played. Put a box and one on Harden when he's on fire, you know, shut him down. Something that I would change, stop with the superstar calls. But I know that's been going on since Jordan and probably before that. But, you know, and the flopping is just horrible. I don't know if you guys have seen LeBron got fouled, flopped on Saturday against Memphis. So
I was there. It was pretty rough.
Yeah, tee them up if they flop. I mean, they review everything else. And if you tell that, you know, someone touches them barely and they react like they got shot by a cannonball, then tee them up and that'll make them stop.
Yeah. Logan, what about you?
Yeah, I'll build off of what Scott said on the, getting rid of something. The flopping is just it can be out of control. And like I said, I was at the Grizzlies Lakers game the other day, and you know, I think it was Dylan Brooks. He hit him in the face, but like he acted like he got shot by a gun, and it he barely grazed like his beard. So, you know, and just more dunks. I want to see more dunks, more alley oops. Mm-hmm.
That's always fun.
It's the most exciting part of the game. So,
yeah.
More of that.
Yeah. So, obviously, the flopping, that's, I think, a universal thing in the NBA. I don't know how you stop it, but that's definitely something I'd want to see stopped. Maybe not something that's like a game-to-game thing, but I think tanking, which this is not an original thing, but tanking in the NBA, I think, is a major issue that most people want to see stopped, because I think it can kind of make – it makes so many teams irrelevant, and it kind of gets a lot of fan bases to check out, I think, when you know your team is tanking. And I guess a lot of people like to see, and I understand why teams do it, but I think for the, I guess if you refer to the NBA as like a product, I think it would definitely help the product if more teams were less worried about getting a good draft choice and more worried about like developing, I guess, a winning culture, like more what you see in the NFL. Again, I understand why they do it, but if I'm just saying, what do I want to see? I mean, that's definitely something I would want to see stopped. Things I like that I would like to continue and see more of is, so like my favorite time watching basketball was probably at this point, like 5 years ago, mm-hmm. when it was like Heat and Spurs. And I just thought that was like the peak of basketball, like that I had ever seen, because I think it was a nice, because what everybody's kind of down on right now is like the Houston Rockets sort of style of play. Not everyone, but a lot of people are down on it. A lot of threes, a lot of just kind of dribbling out the clock and then jacking up a shot, where I thought for a few years ago, it was kind of like a nice balance where the three was definitely utilized by teams like the Spurs. We had a lot of ball movement. You had to play down low. I don't know. I just remember those Spurs Miami series a few years ago when LeBron was on the Heat, and I just thought that was the greatest basketball I'd ever seen. And so if I could get more of that, whatever that takes, give me more of that, because that was amazing. And I think, again, it's hard to say, like, I'm saying what I want to see as like what entertains me watching basketball. And I can't say I blame teams for doing what they do, because, I mean, you do what you have to do to win. And if you're, you know, shooting this many threes and it helps you win, I mean, do it. But if I'm just saying what I like to see, that's what I want to see. Is I like ball movement. I kind of like a lot of great passing. Mm-hmm. Still three-point shooting, but a lot of play down low, like I said.
Yeah.
Like, I think what we saw about 5 years ago in the NBA was awesome.
Yeah, passing is a lost art form in basketball. I'm not a huge basketball guy. I mean, for me, like, I like to see a balanced, you know, somewhere where you get, like, you know, because a lot of times it's like when it's like kind of like out of nowhere where you have like that great, where you could do like a slam dunk or a three-pointer kind of thing, depending on how the play goes. I mean, you get that, like, that nice thing outside, and the guy, you know, nails the three, or, you know, all of a sudden you get that, that incredible, like, inside pass, and he just, wham, slams it down. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm also talking about, like, how I play NBA Jam, but,
yeah.
I mean, for me, like, you know, I don't want the fouls at the end, you know, how many fouls to give, this stuff, that just drives me bonkers. The most of the game takes, like, you know, no time, and then, like, the last, you know, few minutes takes forever. But
yeah, if I can interject, yeah, that's something I would like to change, is the incessant fouling when you're down 10 and you know there's no chance you're going to come back. That just frustrates the crap out of me. But carry
yeah.
on.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I would love, I mean, I'm from New York. Didn't grow up watching a lot of basketball because my dad's not into it. So I was kind of like, you know, I don't want to say I'm Criscolo-esque, but I was like, you know, a fan of Showtime and the Lakers. And I would love to root for the Knicks, but I just can't because the Dolans suck. So it's horrible up here. So trust me, I won't have cable vision because of them. I refuse.
No judgment. No judgment.
All right. So I don't know how much we all, you know, hockey here on this show, since most of you guys are Southerners. I don't know how much hockey you guys watch down there. But, you know, we'll go kind of around the horn. You know, Jacob, any hockey thoughts?
I don't really have any hockey thoughts. I don't dislike hockey. It's just, I guess one big thing is, like, there was never any team near me, or there's no real hockey culture here.
Yeah.
So I never really attached myself to it. So I don't know. I guess I don't really have any input on hockey.
Who would be your closest? Tampa, you think?
Yeah, probably Tampa or
Dallas.
Or Nashville, maybe.
Nashville, that's right.
No, yeah, probably Dallas, yeah.
All right. Scott, what about you?
All right. So, like Jacob, I'm not the biggest hockey fan, but when I live outside of Nashville now, I jumped on the bandwagon pretty hardcore when they made it to the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been to one game since I've lived down here, but the rule that I would change was make the last 2 minutes be 3-on-3, because I remember, I think they did that in the All-Star game a couple years ago, and that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
As someone who doesn't know that much about hockey, I was like, wow, this looks like a lot of fun with the 3-on-3, because you could see more of what was going on and everything, and it was more high stakes. So I'd say make the last 2 minutes 3-on-3 and see what happens from there.
Yeah. Logan, you got any hockey thoughts?
Nah, my hockey knowledge pretty much begins and ends with the Mighty Ducks. So that's about it.
Wow.
Flying V.
Yeah. Go Flying V. Yeah.
Fights. Scott wants more fights.
Ah.
Yeah. That's all I want.
That's yeah. You don't really see a lot of that anymore. I mean, you know, I took my girlfriend to her first Ranger game last year, and the only thing we saw, everything except for a fight, and I'm like, damn it. You know, where's the good old days? And I definitely agree with you, Scott. When there's less on the ice, it's definitely opens up more. That's why they changed the overtime rules to 4-on-4, which makes it much better to play. But you know, you want to see more breakaways. Those are always fun. I mean, a lot of people argue about getting rid of the blue line because it slows down plays. But for me, I would just, you know, opening up the game a little more. That's usually what the biggest thing about hockey is. You know, you guys aren't really familiar, but the Devils used to do something called the trap, which was the most boring hockey. It was kind of like just throwing the puck around over and over and over and just trying to, you know, just wait till the other team makes a mistake. And it was just the worst hockey to have to watch. So
yeah, that sounds pretty brutal.
Oh yeah, it was brutal. All right. So moving on to our next question. I want you guys to name a player who you have a lot of respect for and are a fan of, but you hate their team. So we're going to start with Logan. What about you?
I'm a big fan of Aaron Judge for the Yankees, but, you know, I was raised to just despise the Yankees, so I'm going to go with Aaron Judge. And I always kind of felt that way about Jeter, too. I liked Jeter a lot, but I liked his game and his style, but I just – I couldn't ever – I can't get with the Yankees.
Oof. You do know the host is like, you know, born and bred New Yorker. My dad's from the Bronx. My parents are from the Bronx.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Oh, it's all love here. Come on. I'm just busting. All right. So, Scott, what about you?
It's funny Logan mentioned that. I'm the same person, Aaron Judge. There's a couple reasons behind that. I'm in a fantasy football league, fantasy baseball league. Mm-hmm. And we do keepers and everything. And I picked him up when he was a prospect. So I, like, had him forever.
Nice.
But I'm a Braves fan. I grew up watching the Braves on TBS was my favorite channel. Had wrestling and Braves baseball. I never changed it. But losing to the Yankees all those years in the late 90s has burned me on. I know there's a bunch of people in PTBN that's Yankees fans, but I just can't stand them. But I love seeing Aaron Judge swing a baseball bat. So it's a real conundrum.
Well, the Yankees, you know, look, there as many people love the Yankees as many hate the Yankees. It's like the Cowboys, like the Islanders in hockey back in the day. You know, it's all good, you know, as long as you're not rooting for the Red Sox, I guess. Jacob, what about you?
Well, I am shocked to hear that people hate the Yankees.
You know, I have friends of mine, you know, that I like. I look at them the way they act, and I'm like, "You're the reason why people hate us." Shut up, you freaking mook. Anyway,
Rosario, I'm just kidding.
I think I'll go a little bit outside the box, which I don't think this is as common, but I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks because the player I love is Russell Wilson because he's a great player and seems like a good guy. As far as I know. But I really don't like the Seahawks, and I think most of it's from Pete Carroll, because I really don't like Pete Carroll. I don't know. I think it's just his, like, I don't know.
Something about whole, him.
yeah, like the way he carries himself. And there's obviously some non-football things that I think Pete Carroll has said that are, you know, questionable. But I think it's just which may factor into it. But I don't know. I think there's just something about, and maybe it's because they, like, had some pretty terrible, well, terrible for me. The Saints lost to them and some terrible playoff losses, so maybe I'm just bitter. But I really love Russell Wilson, but something about, and I think I got tired of hearing about the freaking 12th man, like, constantly, which I think annoyed me too, but I don't know. I'm probably just bitter from losing to them in the playoffs multiple times, but... Yeah. I go with the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, Daryl Johnston, Moose. I'm a Giants fan and have a deep hatred for the Cowboys, especially, you know, growing up with season tickets for the Giants. But there was something about him, like, you know, and it was kind of universal with most Giant fans. Like, when he would get the ball, we would still do a Moose chant, you know, at the games. And he's turned into a pretty damn good analyst. Let's see. As much as it pains me as a Yankee fan to say this, I kind of like Big Poppy. You know, because, you know, he just seems like this big, lovable guy. You know, not so much as a player, but kind of now I kind of love him. Like that. Yeah, have you guys ever seen the This Is Sports Center commercial with him and Posada? Where,
mascot season.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, you know, they're sitting there, you know, and Jorge Posada never always wore his hat looked like it came out of the box, like he never, you know, bent the brim or anything like that, and he's sitting there with Poppy, and Poppy like bends it, and he's like, you got to wear it like this, you got to wear it in, and he puts on the Yankee hat, and I forgot the name of the Red Sox mascot goes walking by, and he sees him, and Poppy's got the hat on, he's like. What? Stop! No, really, you don't understand. So, highly seek that out on YouTube. But yeah, I also, you know, when I watch the postseason and pre and post game show, I think it's on TBS. He's on with A-Rod and stuff like that. The guy's just having a ball. He's having fun now. Pedro, I still hate, but you know, Poppy, I love. Yeah.
What's your opinion, Andy, on A-Rod now? Since you know he's pretty much universally loved for his analyst work.
I mean, I didn't want to see him come to the Yankees, you know. Luckily, it was established before he stepped foot in the door that it was Jeter's team, and he was not playing short. I mean, he did okay for us. I mean, he was going to go to the Red Sox. I don't know if you guys remember. He was supposed to go to the Red Sox for Manny, but he was going to, like, defer too much of his contract, and the players' union vetoed it. So I was, like, kind of like, you know, always felt like the Yankees were his, like, his second choice. You know, I don't hate him as much as I hated Greg Maddux for using us, you know, to get more money. But, I mean, you know, I think, and I also think he's a good analyst. You know, surprisingly, he's a good analyst. And Tony Romo also really surprised me that how good he is. But just to kind of finish out my list, Reggie Miller, you know, I did pull for the Knicks back when they had the Ewing years. And, you know, the Pacers were a thorn in the side of the Knicks. But Reggie Miller, just so charismatic, you know, just would, I think he would like high, him and Spike Lee would jaw each other all the time. A lot of fun. And of course, and when the Rangers won the cup in 94, you know, you had to, I love Pavel Bure because I just love Russian players, the way they have so much speed and stick handling. So I was a big fan of that. So moving on, since the XFL is experiencing some early success, could alternate leagues work in other sports? So this time we're going to start with Scott.
All right. So I personally don't think alternative leagues could work, alternative leagues, because the baseball season is just so long. It starts up in March, at the end of March, and runs till October. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to watch, I guess it would be indoor baseball from November to March. And then basketball, it's already sort of been tried with the Big Three, what Ice Cube made, which was just going to be for older players. But I read that for his new season, they're allowing like 27-year-olds to play. So that's just a, you know, no one watches that. I think it's on CBS Sports. I don't even think I've watched any of the games. And they came to Nashville once as part of their traveling tour. And I was like, I'm good. And I love sports. The way I feel is like NFL, MLB, NBA, and NHL are the brands. Whatever tries to come up, it's just not going to come short. I will say XFL's doing a whole lot better than I thought they would. So that, I mean, maybe, but that's just for spring football. But that's because football runs from August to February. And, you know, that's not that much of the year. It's only a fourth of the year. The only thing that I can see working is a semi-pro basketball league that allows 18-year-olds in. As we already seen this overseas with some prospects that have went overseas to play for a year or two, then come get drafted by the NBA. We're seeing that with RJ Hampton now. The Ball brothers did this, and one of them is going to get drafted this year. Brandon Jennings has already done this, and he got drafted by the Bucks in 2010. And Emmanuel Mudiay already did this because they can make money. They can make a couple million dollars just playing before they go to the NBA and make buku bucks because, let's be real, most of these college players probably don't go to class. I mean, I didn't even play college basketball, and I barely went to class. So
there you go. Yeah. All right, Logan, what about you?
I kind of agree with Scott. I think football is such a different animal. I think its popularity just, you know, is so much huger than any of the other sports in the world. And I feel like, you know, Major League Baseball already has, you know, double A and single A and triple A. So, I mean, they already have other leagues technically. And then, you know, the NBA has the G League. So I think there might just not be enough talent to go around, you know, that would keep it entertaining. At least I feel like with football, there's, you know, there's at least some talent out there that could make a league entertaining and, you know, keep a good product on the field. Mm-hmm. But I think you get kind of watered down with the other two, and like I said, they already kind of have minor-ish leagues, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob, what about you?
Yeah, I think it's really tough because I think many would argue that most of the major sports leagues are, if they aren't already oversaturated, are near oversaturation. Like, I think a lot of people think the NBA already has too many games. Baseball, like Scott said already, it's an extremely long season. So I think it's tough when people feel like they're already, I think a lot of people already think they're getting more than what they need to begin with. But just for the sake of debate, I'll say the things I think you would need to try and have any success. Also hockey, I think, is really tough. Just to finish up why I think it would be difficult, because hockey, I think, already to a lot of people sort of is an alternative league. And I know, like, that's sacrilegious to a lot of hockey fans. And I'm not saying, like, I think it's a lesser sport, but I just think it's kind of viewed that way in the way it's, you know, portrayed in the mainstream. You know, I don't think it's to a lot of, you know, probably NFL fans, it's not seen on the same level as the NFL, mm-hmm. NBA. So it's kind of already sort of seen as an alternate league. So to have something secondary to that, I think would be really tough. But I think maybe basketball and football, I think the key is, and I think you're seeing with the XFL, is I think one thing you really have to do is try and tap into these, like, fan bases that are hungry for it. Because I think if you can get a fan base that is kind of rabid for it, like, I think, isn't it St. I haven't followed the XFL super close since it's come back, but I think it's St. Louis, right, that the fans have been really, they've really been packing the arena or whatever. Yeah, I think if you can, I think as a viewer, if you see that the live crowd is into it, it kind of gets you more into it, you know? Whereas if you, like, I have this problem with a lot of bowl games in college. When you turn on a game and the arenas are just, the stadium's empty, it just kind of, it just sucks the life out of you a little bit. You're like, well, if nobody wants to see it live, why do I want to watch it on TV? Like, so I think you need to try and – I think you have to be really, really specific in where you put the teams. I don't think you want to put a ton of teams. Like, you want to really limit the number of teams. And I think you have to try, since it's a secondary league, to try and create some sort of stakes, because I think that's something they struggle with, where it's like, no matter if the play, even if they can find talent and the actual games are entertaining, I think a lot of what draws people into, like, the NFL is that it feels like there's big stakes, like who's going to win the Super Bowl. And I think it's tougher in an alternate league and a secondary league to get that across, because you know it's a secondary league. So I don't know if it would be making some kind of tournament or, you know, getting more gimmicky with it. I think you have to be really clear as to, like, what teams have to do to, like, reach a playoff or something, so people have something to follow. I think you don't want to have a ton of games. Like, I would try and condense it to where it's something that people can latch on to really easily, and it's really straightforward. I think that's the best chance you have. But like the other guy said, I think it's an uphill battle, because mm-hmm. we're so oversaturated with the major leagues as it is. It's like there's not a lot of room.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys made all great points, Logan. You know, you had a great point. Basically, that there's no minor league football, so that's kind of where XFL is filling the void, because, you know, there's D-League basketball, there's minor league baseball, minor league hockey, that is in those underserved markets, which is another point you made, Jacob, that, you know, yeah, St. Louis is great. That's really where it stands to, is like, you know, is the fan base going to support it? And it's also, like your point about hockey, that's kind of a regional thing too. Because if, you know, there are hockey fans everywhere, but if it's not around you, you don't grow up, you know, experiencing it, you're not going to latch onto it as easily. Like, for me, like I don't watch college football at all. I mean, I'll flip in channels, maybe I'll get into it, maybe I'll, like, pay attention to, like, the bowl standings or whatever. But I didn't, you know, grow up, I'm, you know, yeah, we have some college football here in the metro area, but didn't grow up watching it. Didn't go to either college I went to, didn't have big time. One of them didn't even have a football team up in Hartford. So I didn't grow up with it. But some of the leagues, like, you know, if you're going to try it with some of them, you know, they did try a winter baseball league. I think it was, I want to say, like, sometime in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. It was like, but it was like retired players. I don't know if something like that would work again, but I think hockey, if there was an outdoor hockey league that, you know, maybe had a short season and did those, you know, some of the major markets and some maybe minor markets, because, you know, there is outdoor skating even in warm parts of the country. I think that could have some appeal, plus the Winter Classic or Stadium Series, whatever they call it these days, has been a selling out, although I heard it was like a logistical nightmare in Colorado. A couple weeks ago, getting in and out of that stadium. Mm-hmm. All right. So, our final question or topic in the sports segment tonight. Give me a current athlete that could succeed in another sport, a la Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders. So we're going to start with Logan.
I'm going to go with LeBron James. He's such a, you know, a physical specimen. I think he could, I think, you know, maybe earlier in his career, I think he probably could have played football. You know, because he's a big, tall guy, and you know, he's pretty stout. But yeah, I think he could have played football. You know, Zion Williamson's another one. He's such a specimen. He's such a big tank of a human being. I think he could probably play some football.
All right, Jacob, what about you?
Yeah, I actually had both that Logan just said. Because I think those
sometimes
are
sometimes like, the luck of the draw.
Yeah. But like LeBron, everybody says he would be a great tight end, which I think is true. And I think even like, I mean, he probably wouldn't do it, but like, I think it would be cool to see LeBron like play soccer. Even I think would be interesting. Because he's such an athlete, like LeBron as a goalie, I think would be an interesting proposition. Yeah. But second to that, I think a lot of these, and I mean, it's not really going out on a limb because a lot of them were baseball players, but a lot of these NFL QBs, I think, could have easily been baseball players because they were baseball prospects before they decided to go into the NFL, like Russell Wilson. I'm trying to think of some others. Drew Brees, before he came to the NFL, was, and I'm not saying they would have reached the same level of success, but they were kind of two-sport athletes, and they just kind of went with football. But there's somebody else I'm trying to think of that was a baseball player, but a lot of quarter Kyler Murray.
Kyler right? Murray, yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Lowell also. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, I do. And also former Cowboy backup that was supposed to be the heir apparent, Drew Henson.
Yes, that's right.
He was supposed to be, you know, amazing at football and baseball and never really panned out neither, but that was one that they were hyping up for the longest time when I was growing up.
And we got Tebow down in the Mets minor league system.
But I think the fun answer, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier with violence, would be like which of these guys could be like UFC fighters, which always get like Gronk and the UFC always gets tossed around a lot. Like that would be fun to watch.
So, yeah. All
I don't know if you guys know anybody who would make a good UFC fighter, but
I don't know. Indomica Sue. He's such a dirty player. So Scott, what about you?
I'm going to face of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl champ, as someone who could play baseball. Because I actually did some research on him. His dad was, you know, as everyone knows, was a relief pitcher for MLB. But he actually played in the Little League World Series championship game. They ended up losing, but he played every position but catcher, and he could hit and throw and be a pitcher. He was hitting 90s in high school. So I think he could, you know, at least been a fun utility player to see, especially because he's such a freak of an athlete now. Mm-hmm. So you could see him, you know, throwing someone out from right field to third base or something. I think that would be a lot of fun to see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember when Deion was playing. You know, I think he threw somebody out all the way from like the outfield. Like I think it didn't even bounce when he got to home. So, you know, between that and you know, watching Bo Jackson back in the day, yeah, you guys talked about him earlier in another question. But I'm going to say Aaron Judge. You know, that guy could probably play basketball or football and be pretty damn good. The guy is like a brick shit house. So, you know, whatever happens, you know, whatever he wants to do, he can do. Like, not like the guy they traded for last year. It was a friggin' injury every 2 seconds. Yeah. So, Sean.
Yes.
What do you got to say on this one?
So clearly I don't watch a lot of sports. So, guys, thanks for running through that. But, one sport I do watch, I do like the XFL. I've been watching since the beginning. Mostly to see if it was going to fail or, you know, be really good. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the Defenders. And in week two, they played the Guardians. And I think the quarterback from the Guardians, Matt McGloin, if you guys know who that is. Really good character, you know, with the interviews and everything. You know, throws his team under the bus. Can't play football worth a darn. And I think he should be in the WWE because he would make the greatest heel of all time. anybody that can go out there, throw his team under the bus, throw his coach under the bus, and just not take any accountability for his actions, I'd be all right watching him be a top-level heel. So definitely would like to see him do something else besides play football.
Yeah. Anybody got anybody else you'd like to see in the WWE? Like, you know, I know we're going to see them before because they can't, you know, they can't help themselves. They will always add these Tyson Furies and these, you know, Shaqs or whatever, just to draw numbers. But is there anybody you think, you know, Gronk also that we could see, you know, maybe one day step in? Wow, crickets.
I was just going to say Gronk, but, you know, I think that one's probably a given at this
point. I was trying to think of how Sean brought up how McGloin could be a heel. I was trying to think of who could be a great heel in wrestling, and it would have to be bring in any member of the Astros. And, you know, I was hoping for so much at Royal Rumble that they were going to have Corbin make an Astros stealing joke before his match, but they didn't. But I just can't wait for someone to do that. So,
or like, you know, somebody who wears like a shirt to like, you know, get ripped off and reveal that they had some kind of buzzer on underneath, like MVP or something like that. I don't know.
Exactly.
Who wears shirts these days? The Usos or something? I don't know. All right.
Well, you know, most athletes they bring in there are very, you know, bland and not a lot of personality. So it'd be good to see him bring in somebody that had some personality and actually do something with it. So,
yeah.
Yep.
All right. So that's going to conclude our sports segment, but we're not done. We're going to go into pop culture when we come back, hanging out with Jacob Williams, Logan Crosland, Scott Shiflett, and Sean Kidd. I'm Andy Afton. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.ProBoards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice. The pompous of love. People talk about me, baby.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to episode 9 of The Great Debate here on the PTBN Pop Feed. I'm Andy Afton. I'm hanging out here with Jacob Williams, Logan Crosland, Scott Shiflett, and Sean Kidd. We're going to talk about some pop culture, go over some great questions, and go run the gamut. But first, let's talk about what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. Over here on the Pop Feed, what you're listening to on the latest episode of Year in Pop, Mr. Criscolo and I were joined by, of course, by J.R. Sonia D'Amato and Dr. G. George Rivellino, and we went over all the news, sports, and pop culture of the year 1980. Look for This Week in Sports coming back soon now that the NFL season is over. So Ronnie, Roger, Johnny, and Senior Morissette will come in and give you the latest on what's going on across all the leagues. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. On the latest episode, they cover episodes 11 and 12 of season 5 of The Office. Don't forget to check out one of our newest weekly shows, It Was a Thing on TV, hosts Mike, Greg, and Chico, bring you a triad of TV obscurities. On the latest episode of one of my shows, Laughing Theater, I was joined by the Godfather, Nate Milton, for a live watch of 2009's Black Dynamite. Lots of fun. Anytime you get together with the Godfather is a good time. Over on the wrestling feed, on episode 2 of PTBN NXT, Jake, you, Jenny, and Tim, you checked out the next 3 episodes of NXT TV from January 2014. So y'all check that out. On the newest Place to Be podcast, Scott and Justin are with Peter Winston as they go through a long history of Herb Kuntz. Goodness, a buffet, if you will, history lesson before the 7/28/90 Saturday night's main event. On the latest Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, Jenny, and D'Amato recap much anticipated November to remember. On the latest episode of Body Pressure Luck, Scott Criscolo and Rob Kilner face defending champion Ryan Everett, a couple of alumni of that game show on tonight. On the latest Wrestling Warzone, JT and Chad break down an exciting week of Raw Nitro from 2/19/96. On the latest Talking WCW, Jenny, Tim, and Greg focus on Diamond Dallas Page with 3 distinct matches. Don't forget to check out all of our shows on our feeds. The Glenn Butler Podcast, Hour Spectacular, DC For You, Marvel Age, and much, much more over on the Pop Feed. Here on the Wrestling Feed, we have all other kinds of great shows, such as, well, as I mentioned, but also don't forget Row 1, Seat 1, and Main Event. Lots of fun shows listening for everybody. While you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's Jenny Position feed as well, the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive, and Telling Stories, The Journey Through Infinity, and much, much more. On our social media page as well, we were going to start our sports logo tournament. It might be started by the time you hear it. Facebook went on and made some changes, and you cannot post polls from fan pages anymore or personal profiles. You can only do it in a group setting. So seek out PTBN Tournaments is our group, and that's where we're going to be holding all of our polls. Of course, they will be going up on Twitter as well. So the greatest sports logo of 2020 tournament is starting very soon. Keep an eye out for that. And don't forget to check out placemediation.com each and every day. New voices, fresh takes, bringing articles on the worlds of wrestling, sports, pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown Fox Report, This Week in WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and don't forget about weekly veteran columns like Glenn Butler's weekly Walk Around the Web, posting every Wednesday at 9 a.m. And don't forget to check out our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have all year to do your research, promote matches, build your list. Conversation rules can be found at facebook.com/GWCW matches or on Pro Wrestling Only message board. So, all that out of the way, let's get back to the debates. So, we're going to start off the pop culture segment talking about something we like to do here. We talk about a character that has spanned many movies, been played by many actors or actresses. But tonight, we're going to talk about the Joker. So, what I'm going to ask is, which actor was the best big screen TV slash TV Joker, rank the ones who have portrayed him. So we're going to start with Sean. Sean, who's, do you think, in your opinion, the best Joker? And kind of like, you know, rank them out there.
All right. So I have 6 listed, and I think there's an honorable mention. And I don't know how many people out there watch Gotham, but my honorable mention is Cameron Monaghan. He didn't technically play the Joker, but he played a character that was supposed to be the Joker. And I guess for whatever rights for the TV show, they couldn't call him the Joker. But from a TV standpoint, a TV show standpoint, I thought he was fantastic. Going to number one, I'm going with Heath Ledger. And, you know, okay. Joker is such a fascinating character because, you know, you have the dark, evil Joker. You have the goofy Joker. You have the just many different facets. So I think Heath Ledger from actually being in a movie with the central character of Batman did a fantastic job playing the character. He was evil. He was dark. And made a really, really good opponent for Batman and Heath Ledger. My second one would be Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson was kind of the goofy, crazy Joker in the original. And I think a lot of people, when the first Batman came out, obviously Michael Keaton, and I'm probably aging myself a little bit from 1989, but a lot of people had concern about Michael Keaton as the Batman, but I thought him and Jack Nicholson had a great chemistry. And I had Jack Nicholson going in second place. After that, I'm going with Joaquin Phoenix. Obviously, he won an Academy Award. He did a great job. I guess some people would debate that he might be the greatest Joker of all time, but I think the biggest thing there is he was in a standalone Joker movie and did a great job with the character. But Heath Ledger wins out just because he had that interaction with the Batman mythos and the Batman character. And then I have Mark Hamill from the Batman the Animated Series, I think he did a great job playing the character in the cartoon. Very well known, made a good career out of that for several years, and thought he did a really great in the animated show. And then number five, Cesar Romero from the Batman show from the 60s. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's not a lot of us that were around when that show aired. I think Andy and I have probably had the privilege to remember that show probably better than anybody.
Yes,
yes, based on our generation. But mm-hmm. Again, that goofy character was really good in the show and did a great job for the type of show that that was. And then last but not least, because quite simply, I saw the movie once and I really don't remember him at all, Jared Leto, who might go down as the worst Joker of all time because, like I said, I don't even remember him from the movie. And that probably says it all about how he portrayed the role. So that's how I kind of listed it out.
All right. Let's go over to Scott. What about you?
All right. So I only have five because I'm not going to lie. I forgot the Cesar Romero one. showing how young I am. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, it's an age thing. It's all right.
They're reruns.
Yeah.
My best Joker is Heath Ledger. I was 19, 20 when The Dark Knight came out, and that was the first movie I saw multiple times in the theater. I saw it three times that summer when it came out. I was just blown away by it. He did such a great job. You know, I always think what would happen if he would have stayed alive, if he would have been in the third one, which I'd read rumors online supposedly he would have been. Second one I have is Mark Hamill because I grew up watching Batman animated series, so he was just amazing in it. And also, if anyone plays video games, he voiced the Joker in the Batman Arkham games, which are just amazing video games if you like video games of Batman.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, he was just great in there. Three I have is Jack Nicholson. I just loved him. He was over the top, but not really, when he played the Joker with Batman. In the first Batman movie. And this fourth one's going to get me in some trouble. Joaquin Phoenix. I always mispronounce his name. But I saw the movie opening weekend. My wife was more excited to see the Joker movie than I was. I just could never get behind. I just felt the movie wasn't warranted. Like, I buy into, you're not supposed to know how the Joker was made or who he is. Like, I just like having the unknown of that. So I just felt the movie wasn't warranted the whole time. And the last one was Jared Leto. He tried to be gangster Joker and then tried to be crazy like Heath Ledger. And it was bad. Like, I wanted the DC universe to take off so bad, but they just shot themselves in the foot repeatedly. So he's worse by a long shot.
So, all right.
Yeah, that's my list.
All right. Jacob, go with you.
Yeah, not a huge debate for my number one, also Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. Similar experience to Scott, like when it first came out, and I'm not a huge comic book movie person, but I think probably for people of our generation, that movie hit at like the exact right time because I was about 18 when it came out. And I, just like Scott, I think I saw it like three times, and it was the first movie I saw multiple times in the theater. I just thought it was really, really awesome. One thing I noticed is because, like, I'd seen Heath Ledger in, like, many movies before that, and I felt like when he was the Joker, I couldn't even tell it was him. Like, he was so the character that, to me, you couldn't even tell it was Heath Ledger, like, the same person that you had seen in other movies, which I think really tells you how much he was into it. So I'm not debating that one. I had less Jokers on my list, I guess, because I'm not quite as knowledgeable of it. I had Jack Nicholson number two. I think same as Sean. in the 1989 one, because I did watch that one growing up, even though it was maybe a little bit before my time. I still did watch it quite a bit because it was pretty well known. So I liked that one. And I actually had Cesar Romero number 3, because even though I am younger, I obviously didn't watch it in the 60s, but my dad watched it a lot on like TV Land. And so I saw it a lot then, and I'm just really into that old Batman show in general. So I gave it him number 3 because I haven't seen the new one, because I go to the theater like once every 2 years because I have a young child. So like I usually go like once every 2 years to see Star Wars, and that's like my one trip to the theater, like every 18 months or whatever. But so I kind of just did my top 3. But okay. I'm interested to see if anybody, if Logan or Andy, if you guys are going to break the trend, if anybody's not going to have Heath Ledger at number 1.
Logan, what do you say? Logan, hello.
I can tell you, he just brought, and like you said, he enveloped himself so much into that character that it was really amazing to watch. And you know, that performance is go down as one of the best movie performances in history, and I think. With my number 2, I'm going to go with Jack Nicholson, because he kind of brought a different version of it to the table than Ledger did. I actually haven't seen the new Joker either, so my 3 will be Mark Hamill, because I did watch Batman the Animated Series growing up. And he was always a real good part of that show. So those are really the only 3 I've ever had an experience with. So that's where I'll have to cut it off.
Okay. Well, I didn't watch the animated series. And to me, Mark Hamill is always Cockknocker from Jan Bob. Jan Bob is a, if I'm going to talk about him as a supervillain. But there's a great meme going around. Maybe I'll share that when this goes up. It's called Jokers, and it's all the guys who played the Joker, even though I don't know who the first one is, the Maniac. I can't tell you who the actor is. Maybe you guys tell me if I share this with you. But you have the comedian, the psychopath, the anarchist, the gangster, and the clown. Meaning Joaquin, Jared, Heath, Jack, and Caesar. But my, yes, I am going to be the one that puts Jack Nicholson first, because I was, I think, 16 when that came out. And, you know, it was just, to me, that was what I know Jack Nicholson from. Like, you know, I has all the great roles, but him, just the maniacal laugh to being such so well dressed and such a badass and such a great, you know, the thing about those Batman movies where, you know, Michael Keaton still is probably my favorite Batman also, but you know, all these, like a lot of superhero movies depend on the villain. You know, and he was just so good. I mean, just everything, even, you know, the way he, you know, knocked off his boss, and just, you know, with Jack Palance and his, you know, just, you know, could have done without all the prints in that movie. But other than that, it was great. And Heath is my number 2. The guy was just, yeah, like you said, maniacal. And I wish, you know, we could have seen, because he, yeah, the Joker was not killed at the end of Dark Knight. Spoiler alert, sorry. But, you know, it would have been very interesting. Maybe Dark Knight Rises wouldn't have been as bad. Who knows? But, you know, Heath was great. My number 3 is Cesar Romero. And, no, I did not see it when it was originally on. I was, I saw it in reruns like all of you guys. But I did grow up, it was on TV a lot more. Like in the mornings, like on like, you know, the local channels,
sure.
I guess. Yeah.
Fun Andy, I'm feeling you. I know.
Fun fact, Cesar Romero refused to shave his mustache. So if you look closely enough, you could see it under his Joker makeup. But yeah, he was one of the big 4 and just had so much fun with the role. And then at number 4, I have Joaquin. Yeah, I mean, you could think it was unnecessary. I think Todd Phillips just really wanted to make a Taxi Driver, but so the only way he could was to do it this way. If you want to hear more about Joker, look up the Pop Goes the Movies with me and Mr. D'Amato. And Jared Leto is my bottom. Yeah, his laugh was okay, but I think he was too much of a gangsta and not enough of a gangster. You know, he just, I just didn't like his portrayal. Like, not just only him, just the way he, you know, from the way he dressed to, you know, having a grill and having, I mean, I know you want to have a unique take on the character, but it wasn't visually pleasing either. I mean, not saying Joker's supposed to be like, you know, this thing, but, you know, he just looked like a cartoon, like a caricature, I guess, of the character. You know, it's also really hard, you know, to follow in Heath Ledger's footsteps, you know, since he was the first one to play the character since Heath Ledger. And it was just, he probably had a no win situation. So the next thing we're going to do is our star versus star, where we kind of take a couple of actors or actresses and we kind of compare them and talk about, you know, them in terms of like their body of work and who you think is a better box office draw and who do you, you know, you prefer actually. So we're going to start with Scott. We're going to talk Jennifer Aniston or Reese Witherspoon.
All right. I chose Reese Witherspoon. Mm-hmm. As she's, so I have like, I can never figure out like top five movies overall, but I break them off into genres, and she's in my favorite romantic comedy, and that's Sweet Home Alabama. Mm-hmm. So she's good. She's going to win that regardless. But she was also in like Cruel Intentions, but they both had stinkers along the way. But Reese Witherspoon's been making some good stuff recently with Big Little Lies, and the new show that she has called Little Fires Everywhere looks really good. She's just more well-rounded compared to Jennifer Aniston, as I think Jennifer Aniston's just known for like 700 episodes of Friends that she made, and I just felt that was such an overrated show. I guess I was never able to get into it. So, and Jennifer Aniston was in this horrible movie named The Switch, which the first date I took my wife on, she chose that movie, and it was the worst movie ever. Like, she didn't. I was like, I'm choosing movies for us for now on to watch when we go to the movie theater. So, which I bring up to her all the time because I'm just like, there's all these movies out and you chose a crappy movie with Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston. So.
Wow. All right. Logan, what about you?
I'm going to go with Reese Witherspoon as well. I'm an unabashed lover of Legally Blonde, actually. I love that movie. I pretty much watch it whenever it comes on TV. She's also very good in Sweet Home Alabama, as Scott said. My wife watches the Big Little Lies show, and she's also very good in that from the few episodes that I've watched. I do enjoy Jennifer Aniston. I was a big fan of Friends. I've watched it quite a few times. I like her in the Adam Sandler movie Just Go With It. Mm-hmm. She's also pretty good in Horrible Bosses. But yeah, overall, I think I'd go with Reese Witherspoon. I think she's a little bit better of an actress, and I think her movies are just a little bit better in my opinion.
Okay, Jacob, what about you?
Not to backtrack, but I just want to make this clear. So, Andy, if you were to rank Mark Hamill's roles, number one, Cock Knocker, number two, Luke Skywalker.
And then the oldest brother on Eight is Enough, the pilot.
Okay.
Wow. You're like, what? Wow. Yeah, he was the original older brother on Eight is Enough, but he had to turn it down for a little indie movie. So
okay, sorry to get us off track, but okay.
No, I think, hey, believe me, you know who's been on. You've been on shows with other people that have been on the show. So yeah. There's a lot you need to do to get me off track on this show.
The two major criteria I think you have to get into with this is, what are your feelings on Friends? Because I think your feelings on Friends kind of determines where you go in Jennifer Aniston. Mm-hmm. And also how much you're weighing like actress versus just like pop culture icon, which I think if you just go like pop culture icon, I think it easily goes to Jennifer Aniston. But I am going to, and this might be the Southern bias coming through, I'm going to go with Reese Witherspoon also, just because I think I'm not super high on Friends and the controversial King of the Hill versus Friends poll. I voted King of the Hill. So if that shows my feelings about Friends, so I've never been super high on Friends. Though Jennifer Aniston is in Mac and Me. I don't know if y'all have ever seen Mac and Me, which is like a E.T. ripoff movie. I think it's probably like straight to video. Wow. That I watched as a kid. Nobody saw Mac. Well, Jennifer Aniston's in Mac and Me, apparently, according to her Wikipedia. Go look up Mac and Me. It's a you won't be disappointed. But so she's had some good movies, but I think Reese Witherspoon's filmography kind of just knocks hers out of the water. Again, I'm kind of biased. She was born in New Orleans, so that kind of gives her some extra cred. And in the South, she was in Fear with Marky Mark, which is kind of a cult classic. Mm-hmm. Cruel Intentions, kind of another – that was a big movie in the late 90s. Legally Blonde is a classic series. Like Scott said, Big Little Lies more recently. The TV show is awesome. And nobody's mentioned yet Walk the Line, which is kind of more of an Oscar, Oscar film. And she's in that. So I just think since I'm not super big on Friends, I have to go Reese Witherspoon. Because I think if you're not big on Friends, it kind of tanks Jennifer Aniston. I don't know.
Reese Witherspoon played her sister on Friends also. I don't know if you all remember that. Yep. Who played the other sister? Do anybody remember?
Nope.
Well, Reese Witherspoon played Jill, and Christina Applegate played Amy. Those were Rachel's two sisters. Sean, what about you? Reese or
so,
Jennifer?
By a long shot, it's Reese Witherspoon. And kind of a lot of the things that Jake said. If you look at it from a actress portfolio scenario, it's kind of like Jennifer Aniston has Friends, and then you kind of go down the list, she has Leprechaun. Does anybody remember that classic Leprechaun, right? I think she was in Bruce Almighty. I think Horrible Bosses, where she kind of played the slutty boss. But if you look at Reese Witherspoon, first off, first movie I ever saw Reese Witherspoon in was Cruel Intentions. And that's really a disturbing movie for anyone that's seen it. And Reese kind of played the cute girl next door that Ryan Felipe had a bet with Sarah Michelle Gellar about trying to, get her in a sack. But really cute girl next door there, but she's also very flexible. Like Pleasantville, she played kind of a teenager, yeah, that's promiscuous in the 50s. Great Pleasantville. Election with Matthew Broderick was a great movie. And one of my favorite movies of all time, American Psycho, she played the entitled girlfriend of Patrick Bateman, right? So Legally Blonde, not one of my favorites, but she plays the dits. And the other thing, Walk the Line, I was going to bring it up. She also co-starred with the Joker, Joaquin Phoenix, which is a really great movie, playing Roseanne Cash. So, I think if you just look at the portfolio, Reese Witherspoon is very cute. And, one more movie I'll add has become a recent favorite for me. I'm a big Christmas guy. I think Four Christmases, it's hilarious. And I don't know if anybody has seen that with Vince Vaughn. But by a long shot, really good movie, and it's funny. So by a long shot, it's Reese Witherspoon. Jennifer Aniston doesn't even come close, in my opinion.
Mistletoe.
Yes.
Mistletoe. I kind of echo what you guys say. I mean, Jennifer Aniston, is iconic as Rachel on Friends. But, you look at her filmography, I've heard things about the movie Cake, which I've actually never seen. But, she was good in Just Go With It and Horrible Bosses. But after that, her film career is nobody mentioned they both played Vince Vaughn's significant other, because also it was the breakup with her and Vince Vaughn. I think they were actually more believable couple, though, because he's just so ginormous and Reese is so tiny, if you watch that in Four Christmases. I thought they had really good chemistry as well. But when you talk about Reese, you guys have all mentioned the main movies, Election, the great Tracy Flick, Cruel Intentions, Sweet Home Alabama. Not my favorite, but it's in my top five romantic comedies of all time. Love Me a Little Melanie Smooter. And there were a couple other movies that nobody mentioned. Freeway, I don't know if you guys ever saw that one. very young Reese Witherspoon with Kiefer Sutherland, where he plays he plays like a serial killer or something, and she was going to be one of his victims, but she like, you know, really messes him up, like to the point where like he like, you know, his mouth is wired open or something. I don't know, it's all like, all kinds of messed up. And also a movie that actually was on cable recently that I had seen years ago called Overnight Delivery. It's actually where she has dark hair and she plays this girl Ivy up against Paul Rudd. Actually,
yes,
very early Paul Rudd. She's adorable in that movie. So
I've seen that movie about 400 times on Comedy Central in like the mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was on one of the like you know, Showtime or something recently, and I got hooked into it like on like a Saturday while I was cleaning. But I think Reese you know, wins this hands down. So so let's move on to what's a song that gets overplayed on movie soundtracks that you don't want to hear on them anymore. We're gonna start with Logan.
I'm gonna go with All Star by Smash Mouth.
Yes.
I feel like that was on all. I feel like that was on a lot of soundtracks back in the like early 2000s, late 90s. I think it's mostly to do with the fact that my nephews and nieces play that incessantly nowadays and dance to it. But you know, it's just one of those things that's on a lot of those kind of things, and it just I'm a little over it at this point.
A movie that's a song that sold out before it was even recorded. all right, you got any others, or is that your one?
I think this one.
Okay, all right, that's all right.
Something to make fun, but yeah, that's
no, fine. It's a good one though. You know, there's no points for quantity on this show. We talk about quality. Jake, what about you?
Yeah, I have a few. My first one would be "Born to Be Wild," which I feel like is played anytime in any movie. When I feel like this is when you know, like, these songs have gotten like overplayed. Like, my son a few years ago got into like one of the Alvin the Chipmunks movies, like the newer like CGI ones. Mm-hmm. And I feel like anytime when songs get put in those like second tier like kids CGI movies, like the ones that aren't like Pixar level, but they're just kind of like not the same level of quality, and so they'll just throw in these like well-known songs that like always come up in certain situations, like Born to Be Wild, if they're like, I don't know, riding down the highway, or like Kung Fu Fighting, anytime like people are fighting, Staying Alive, you know, they'll just, all these songs that they'll just kind of throw in there, like, I guess like jam into a movie unnaturally for like the same exact situation every single time. Mm-hmm. So that's my three.
All right. Sean.
So I have three, and I really debated on which one that I didn't like the most. So I'll start with, you know, in the 80s, Dirty Dancing was a big movie, right? Mm-hmm. So Patrick Swayze singing should never have been a thing. So every time I hear She's Like the Wind on the 80s channel, everything, I get sick to my stomach. So not a big Patrick Swayze fan. The second one I had was Footloose. I love me some Kenny Loggins, but I much prefer the theme song from Caddyshack than I do from Footloose. And I feel like it's overplayed. And, you know, every time, like I said, it's constantly on the radio. But my number one, and might not be a popular choice, is I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. It's a great song. I get it's a great song. People love Whitney Houston. But, you know, it's all over TV. You watch any of these shows like American Idol or The Voice, every singer that comes on wants to nail that song because that'll cement them as a singer, and I just think it's overplayed and overdone. And even though it's a great song, I could do without hearing it ever again. So that would be mine.
I have a personal story about that song. Back when I was in my, you know, early teens, early 20s, going to bars with my friends and stuff like that. I don't know about you guys, you know, what you guys do after, you know, whether you go to like, you know, Waffle House or whatever, but we would go to diners up here in New York. And we had jukeboxes in like every booth. You know, you throw a couple quarters in, you get pick a song, whatever. And my idiot drunk friend one night decided to put like a couple of bucks into one of them and push the button that says most popular about, I would say, like 20 times. So I'll give you a wild guess at what the most popular song was on that jukebox. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston. So imagine, you know, after a night of drinking, trying to eat your cheeseburger deluxe or your omelet or whatever that frig we were eating, and just hearing that over and over and over. That's why I cringe whenever that song comes on. All right. Scott, what about you?
All right. I chose Semitone Life by Third Eye Blind because it sounds upbeat. When it's in movies, you're like, oh, something good's about to happen. But then if you pay attention to the lyrics, it's talking about doing crystal meth.
Yeah.
And it takes me out of it because I just start laughing when I hear it. And then whatever scene's going on, I'm like, I know what you were trying to go for, but it's like, it just takes me out of the whole thing. And so I could go without seeing that because it takes me out of what the movie's trying to set up or the TV show is trying to set up for. I remember seeing it. I think it was in the American Pie movie.
Yes, yes. The original.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And then a couple other movies, but I just remember hearing that and I'm like, why would a product, but it, that's just one that needs to be stricken from the record.
It's like insert upbeat pop song here.
Yep.
And then they don't really listen to the upbeat pop song.
And let's do some drugs after we play the upbeat song. Yeah.
I mean, for me, I went with songs if I hear it in one movie, it becomes iconic to that movie. So Stuck in the Middle with You, I've heard that in other movies, and I just can't hear that without seeing Michael Madsen do this little dance while, torturing a cop. So that's one. I'm going to go with also... I can't read my own handwriting here. Don't Stop Me Now by Queen, which you're hearing a lot in different movies and commercials. But for me, it's always Shaun of the Dead for that song. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie where, Yep. the zombified bartender, they actually hit him in tune with the song. So,
yes, I love that whole last 20 minutes of that movie.
Yes, yes. So it's a fun movie. So, yeah, so those are my choices. Comment, on the Facebook page with those of you who are listening with some of your options. So we're going to go with Jacob. What's a TV show you loved when it first aired but you can't watch now or doesn't hold up?
Okay. This one came to me pretty quick. I'm going to go with Lost.
Oh.
I watched it. It's probably the first serial show that I really got hooked on. I started watching it when I first got Netflix, oh my goodness, and a really long time ago. But I started watching it, and I think at the time it seemed so great because we weren't so used to those type of shows. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it holds up now because, one, it's way too long. Each season is 24 episodes that are all an hour long, which is insane to think about now because we're so used to kind of shows dialing that back, especially a drama. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one reason it doesn't hold up. And I think because it's so long, there's so much filler to it. And I really think that if they if Lost was made now, I think it would be a lot better than it was at the time. And I mean, I loved it so much at the time. I was so into it and obsessed with it. But I think looking back on it now, it's extremely convoluted. It's a lot of filler, and I don't think it would be as easy as to watch now because I feel like it would just drag on, which even by the end at that time, it was dragging on.
Yes, it was.
But I think especially when you think about shows now, if you watch The Mandalorian and it's only, 8 episodes or something, and a lot of the episodes are only, 40 minutes or something, and I feel like what happens in that season of The Mandalorian is – sometimes more than what happens in some seasons of Lost, and considering a season of Lost is 22 episodes, an hour long each. Mm-hmm. It kind of shows you, I just don't think the pacing holds up well at all.
Yeah, it seems, I haven't watched it since it was on. It seems very daunting to go back.
Yes.
Don't make me do that, please. Sean, what about you?
So I had to go back and forth on this because growing up, in the 70s and the 80s, again, going back to, potential really bad TV shows because there was a lot back in those genres. I could name a few from the 70s and everything, but I'm going to talk about one that recently I quit watching that I was into, and that is The Flash. I'm really big into the comic book shows. You know, I loved Arrow. I talked about Gotham earlier. And The Flash, when it first started, was really, really good. I mean, I like the characters. I like the storylines. And, you know, it seemed like right around the time we got into this year's crossover, I really started losing interest. It seems like every week is the same episode where it's let's chase the metahuman of the week and then leave with some cliffhanger that the following week you really don't care about. So, yeah, The Flash has really gone south for me, and I've recently quit watching that probably within the last few months. So,
all right. Logan, what about you?
I'm going to go with How I Met Your Mother on this question.
Yeah.
I just feel like a lot of those shows that have kind of a mystery to them, you know, once you've seen the whole show and it kind of gets revealed, and, you know, when it's butchered as bad as How I Met Your Mother's ending was, it really kind of ruins the show for you, and it's hard to watch it back because you know what's eventually going to happen. But, yeah, I'm going to go with How I Met Your Mother on that one.
All right. Scott, what about you?
All right, I have two of them. Okay. One of them, Jacob already said, was Lost. Because I loved it. I was watching it, new episode when it come on, I'd watch it on ABC. And it's just a lot of questions that they never answered, which is infuriating. 5 or 6 years ago, I tried to go back and rewatch it on ABC, on Netflix. I couldn't even make it to the first season. I was just like, I'm done. But it was just great at the time. It was like one of the first, I believe, with like social media and really launching up at that time. Everyone was able to talk about their theories and everything, which made the show probably half of what it was just everyone had these crazy theories that they were bouncing off of each other. And my second one is Boy Meets World, because I grew up loving that show. It came out when I was, you know, I think it ran from when I was like 6 or 7 to 12. So I grew up watching it. And I put an episode on like a year ago. And it's just so cringeworthy. And it was so cringeworthy for me that I had to turn the channel. Because I was getting like second and third degree cringe. And I was like, I just can't deal with this right now. And I was the one that put it on. I was like, and I turned the channel. So, and I was watching it, like I said, on a streaming service. So those are the two for me, because like I said, I love both of them at different times in my life, and just don't want to go back at all.
I was actually bringing up Boy Meets World myself, because I didn't really watch it when it was on, but I had to take my son to an appointment, and in the waiting room, they had it playing on Disney Plus. And I was like looking at it, I'm like, this is, what dog shit is this fucking show? And it's so bad. I'm like, oh, it amazes me. You know, I guess, you know, maybe it was like Time of Your Life at the time, but that movie, it does not look like it holds up at all. Now, for me, I said, like a lot of shows, like, you know, I go back and watch shows like Sean said, like when we were growing up, like Different Strokes does not hold up. I tried to watch Alf. Not long ago, and Alf was like appointment TV for me when I was on, and I tried to watch it, and I'm like, this is not good.
It's bad. It's bad.
I have to turn this off because my memories are getting ruined of Alf. And then like other shows like maybe like, you know, Happy Days kind of holds up a little bit, you know, because I was really young when that was on, so I don't have that much of an opinion. But you know, and also sometimes some cartoons. You know, you go back and you try to watch it. Like, I was trying to watch, like, Rescue Rangers. As much as I love Rescue Rangers, like, I just couldn't get through it. You know, that was, like, maybe it's also because I'm not a college student in my dorm, you know, partaking in certain things when I would watch the show, so.
Enhancing the experience.
So, you know, like, I'm like, this isn't as funny as I remember it being. But, you know, all right. All great answers. And finally, to round out our pop culture segment, give me some cultural events you'd like to attend one day that you haven't already. Something like Mardi Gras, running the Bulls, even like sporting events like the Super Bowl are applicable in this category. So, Sean, we're going to start with you.
Well, it's funny you brought up Mardi Gras because I recently returned from a trip to New Orleans and had the time of my life, with the exception of one guy that I had there. But anyway, it was a good trip, and I – You know, I enjoyed Bourbon Street for all the great places it had. Not that I went into any of the bad ones, obviously, but I love the bars. I love the bands, the live bands that play there, the experience. The people watching in New Orleans is amazing. And I know our friend Jake lives there, but I would absolutely love to go back to New Orleans and experience Mardi Gras at some point or another.
Anytime. Anytime, yes. Sean.
Thank you.
All right. Scott, what about you?
All right. I got Super Bowl. I would just love to be there once just to watch, you know, hopefully my team would make it. But I'm a Redskins fan, and they haven't been competent since 92 when I was three. So I'm not really holding out hope. And I would like to go to a party in Mardi Gras because I look like that would be a lot of fun. And
I really won people over with that.
You really did.
Absolutely.
I would definitely come back, you know, barely alive, possibly on probation, but, you know I would have a great time there.
Wow. I mean, right. I missed out on two Mardi Gras trips because, you know, stupid me had to go and, like, you know, get married and start having kids. So when all my single friends were going, dummy. All right, Logan, what about you?
I'm gonna throw in on Mardi Gras too. I think that would be a really fun experience. I would like to go to a national championship game in some kind of college sport if my team ever played in it. Like I said, I'm a big college baseball fan, so going to the College World Series at some point would be a good time. But yeah, I mean, and I think I would like to go to the Super Bowl maybe once in life. But those are a couple of things I think I would like to do.
Jacob, what about you?
Apparently, this every guest on the podcast, you're welcome to Mardi Gras 2021. Just let me know; we'll arrange it. My two I had were more like events, I guess, because I'm more event oriented, and I guess I'm just not as knowledgeable about culture events because I'm not cultured. mine would be things like overseas things. Like, I really would like to go to, I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I'd really like to go to like a big soccer match. Maybe I should speak with the special relations guys and see if they can hook me up. But like a really big European soccer match, just the atmosphere seems incredible, which I think would be awesome. And, I'd also like to, again, I'm not a huge, I mean, the Japanese wrestling I've seen is pretty cool, but I'd really love to go to one of those huge, like, Tokyo Dome shows just to experience, like, what, since I've been to, like, big wrestling shows in the U.S., I'd really like to see what it's like there, because it seems like a pretty incredible atmosphere. So those are my two.
All right. For me, I like to see, like, something like Carnival. You know, without in Rio, I mean, that's kind of like, I think Mardi Gras just turned up a little bit, quite a bit. You know, just other things. You know, I've just missed out on the Super Bowl. My parents actually went in 91, I think. No, not 90, 2001, I'm sorry, when the Giants lost to the Ravens. Like I said earlier, we had season tickets, and he had won, you know, they do the lottery for the season ticket holders. So they were down in Tampa, and it was, you know, a horrible Super Bowl. The Giants played like crap. The Ravens' defense just kicked the shit out of them. Also, I was in Italy during the World Cup in 1990, but I didn't go to any games because I was on a tour with my family. But, you know, those all sound like a lot of fun. So, you know, I hope everybody gets to do their trips, their cultural events, their sporting events that they'd like to do. So that brings us towards just about the end of our show. But how we like to close out all the episodes is with a rapid-fire round. Now, we just go around. It's a this or that answer. You can expound on your question, or you could just give an answer. All right? Pretty straightforward. So we're going to start with Jacob. Jacob, mixed drinks or on the rocks?
Mixed drinks, I would say. Yeah? I really, maybe it's because I'm, don't have enough money to drink the highest quality liquor, so I need to mix it with something. But I generally go with mixed drinks. But I have tried on the rocks when I have had higher quality alcohol. So I'll take it anywhere I can get it. Is that an answer?
there's no wrong answers here.
But mixed drinks, probably.
All right. Yeah. Logan.
Mixed drinks.
All right. So I should have said straight up on the rocks, not just on the rocks. But Scott.
Mixed drinks.
All right.
I can't do. I'm like what Jacob said.
Yeah. Sean.
Well, for those that know me, it's clearly on the rocks in the hot tub.
On the rocks in the tub.
Yeah. I kind of echo what you guys said, like, you know, like regular Captain Morgan, I drink it like, you know, we have to have a little mix to it. But if you have Captain Morgan private stock, really smooth on the rocks, or Amaro de Sarno, certain things to me, like, you know, on the rocks. I'm not a whiskey drinker, but, you know. All right. So, Logan, the Three Stooges or the Marx Brothers?
The Three Stooges.
Right. Scott?
I don't really... I guess the Three Stooges. I've only seen that, not really the Marx Brothers.
I saw a few in some classes. Sean?
The Three Stooges, because I grew up on their movies and their cartoon where they played robots. So,
the robotic Stooges. Oh, my yes. God.
That's again, probably aging myself, and I'm sure nobody but you and I have ever seen that cartoon, Andy. So.
yes, I do remember. Holy shit. I'm going to have nightmares tonight. Jacob.
I'll also go with the Three Stooges, who were in this... There was a Scooby-Doo crossover cartoon where they would have like celebrity guests. And I used to watch, I remember watching that when I stayed home from school sick, and the Three Stooges were on there at one point. So I'll go Three Stooges.
Yes. Either them or the Globetrotters usually on those.
Yes, the Globetrotters.
I forget Sonny and Cher.
Yeah, true.
the monkeys or whoever. Scott, The Godfather or The Godfather 2?
Godfather 2.
Okay. Sean?
Oh, Godfather 2.
Right. Jacob.
Godfather.
Ooh. Logan.
Godfather 2.
All right. Thank God nobody went. None of the above. Godfather 3. Yeah. All right. Sean. Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
Backstreet Boys.
Jacob.
I think I'm going NSYNC.
All right. Logan.
Yeah, I got to go with Timberlake. I'm going to go NSYNC.
All right. And Scott.
Backstreet Boys all the way. I've seen them twice in concert. They put on a hell of a show.
And they were the best part about This Is the End also.
They really were.
I once dance contest as Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC. Me and a couple of buddies. Totally burned the floor up with some bye-bye-bye.
Did you draw straws and I was the last one left? The last member of NSYNC you could be?
Yeah, I think I got told later on and they just were like, yeah, you're going to be this guy.
all right. Jacob, Target or Walmart?
Target.
All right. Logan?
Target.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
Target.
Sean?
Walmart, simply for the people of Walmart. It's always an experience.
That's right. Surprise nobody went Target. All right, Logan, would you rather have an appetizer or would you rather have dessert?
I think I'd rather have dessert. I'm a big ice cream fan, so I think I'd rather go dessert.
All right. Scott?
Appetizer, because I can never make it to dessert, so just... I'll start with the appetizer. Give me some cheese sticks or something.
There you go.
Valid point.
Sean.
Same with me. Appetizer. Throw me those cheese sticks.
Yes. And Jacob.
I think I'm going dessert. That way I can have the sweet and the savory, I guess. But, man, that's a tough one.
Eh? Sometimes you just got to make those tough choices here on the show. No. Scott, the Brotherhood of Mutants or the Legion of Doom?
Ooh, Brotherhood of Mutants. I'm doing an X-Men reread right now for the first time, and Brotherhood of Mutants all the way.
All right. Sean?
I'm so torn because I love the Super Friends cartoon again when I was growing up.
That's
but
right.
I gotta go with the Brotherhood with Magneto and the whole cast of characters. So, yeah, that one.
All right. Jacob.
Brotherhood, yeah.
All right. And Logan.
I'm going to go Brotherhood as well.
All right. Let's see. Where did we lead off with? Sean, red sauce or white sauce? I'm talking about getting Italian food, you know.
Red sauce.
All right. Jacob.
I'm also going to go red sauce. I think it's real easy to get a bad white sauce, so
yeah,
I'll go red. Yeah.
All right, Logan.
I'll go white sauce.
All right, Scott.
I'll go white as well.
All right,
making me hungry this late at night.
That's right. You guys have to. You guys got to come up this way. Everybody's talking about New Orleans. Have this love fest. You know, you guys got to come up to NYC once in a while. You know, have some authentic Italian up here.
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, yeah. Wife would love it.
Yeah. Hey, anytime, man. I may not live in New York anymore, but, you know, grew up and my main office is down there. So let me know. Come be your guy.
For sure.
Okay. Jacob, ski ball or Papa Shot?
Ski ball. Because, wait, what is Papa Shot?
It's the little basketball game.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought it might be. I'm going to go Papa Shot. More fun.
Mm-hmm. Logan.
Papa Shot, even though skee ball is awesome.
Yes. Scott.
Papa Shot. I'll just be yelling Kobe the whole time.
Sean.
Papa Shot, because skee ball makes me angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very frustrating. We're actually having a Papa Shot tournament in my office. We have a machine in the break room, and I got knocked out already. So anyway, all right, we're going to finish with Logan. Adam Sandler or Kevin James?
Oh, God, Adam Sandler. No chance on Kevin James.
All right. All right, Scott.
I'll go with Kevin James. One of my best friends loves King of Queens, and I've watched that show so many times because of him. And, just Kevin James.
All right, Sean.
1,000% Adam Sandler.
And Jacob.
Sandman putting Kevin James to sleep, baby.
All right. Awesome. Great job, guys. Really fun episode. So let's kind of go around and see what anybody's got coming up. If you're on any other shows, you got any kind of social media presence that you want people to check out or follow. So we'll start with Jacob. Jacob, what's coming up? When's the next episode of PTBN NXT coming our way?
Should be coming in the next couple of weeks. We should be recording it next week, so it should be coming out soon after that. We will be covering the month of February 2014 NXT, which is the build-up. It will be the episode following that will be the first ever takeover, which we're looking forward to. Yeah, so it's cool. We are really enjoying it. We have a fun three-person booth for that one, and check it out. I think you'll really enjoy it. I'm recently getting my Twitter ratchet up since I'm starting the podcast, PTBNXT. It's Jambalaya _ Jake, so check me out on Twitter.
Awesome. All right. Logan, you got anything going on the social medias or anything?
Not too much, but you can definitely shoot me a follow at Rhino8293. That's my Instagram and my Twitter, so any type of follow would be appreciated.
Right. Awesome. And also, if you want to go back, Logan appeared on Body Pressure Luck, so check that out. It was a lot of fun. Scott, speaking of Body Pressure Luck, Scott was also an alumni of that show. You got anything coming up? Any social media presence you want to promote or anything?
Yeah, if you want to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, it's Scott_Shifflet. Shifflett, as I spout nonsense on Twitter and post pictures of my dogs and what movies I love on Instagram.
Awesome. And Sean, what do you got going on?
I'm still kind of new to this podcasting, but you can catch me on the AEW reaction show that was just this past weekend with Nate, Jenny, and Tim. That was a lot of fun. And then my first pod I ever did was a talk and pop with Jenny and Tim over on the Jenny position, and social media presence just on Facebook. So send me a Facebook.
All right. For me, we have new episodes of Looking Forward, Looking Back coming soon. The big summer movie preview should be coming within the next month or so. as well as the Scott Pilgrim Live Watch, which should be posted by the time that next episode goes up. Next episode of Pop Goes the Classics is coming soon. That, of course, is myself, Miss Miranda Berthold, and Chad Campbell. We're going to be on our second episode, so we're talking about the 1940 anime and classic Pinocchio. Also, we got I got new episodes of Laugh and Theater coming. That's right. Steve Willey will be joining me to watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off, as well as Jordan Duncan to watch Tommy Boy. So those should be coming within the next few weeks. Over on the wrestling feed, I am debuting two new shows. The first show is called The Evolution Of. Every episode, we're going to take a look at an iconic wrestler that had a lengthy career. And we're going to kind of just go through, like, biography style, kind of talk about them with, you know, in terms of the characters they played, the gear, the music, the signature feud, signature matches. The first episode is about The Game, Triple H, so you could all guess who the first guest was. That's right, the podfather here at PlaySome Nation, Mr. Scott Criscolo. And also, I'm going to be bringing The Great Debate to the wrestling feed. It has appeared in the past on episodes of The Main Event with Nate, Steve, and Scott. But we're going to branch out, and we're going to do standalone episodes. So check out the first episode is coming out of the gate with Mr. J.R. Sonia D'Amato, Tim Capel, and Matt Souza. So look for that on the wrestling feed, as well as the latest episode of Year in Pop is up, 1980. That's myself, Dr. G., Scott Criscolo, and J.R. Sonia D'Amato. So, also, don't forget to check out PlaySomeNation.com each and every day. We have new articles, podcasts, everything. We have a brand new Twitter. It's at PlaySomeNation. So check us out. Give us a follow. Don't forget, like and join all of our groups and social media pages, especially the PT Man Tournament page over on the Facebook and all kinds of fun stuff. So with WrestleMania coming, you know, check us out for plenty of coverage. Before, during, and after. We have a big crew going down there. So expect some incoherent drunk live reports coming, which we'll all look forward to. But it should be a lot of fun. And I wish everybody the best who takes the trek. But for now, we're going to close the book on Great Debate episode number 9. I want to thank Jacob Williams, Logan Crosland, Scott Shiflett, and Sean Kidd for joining me tonight on our latest episode. And you know what? We'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.
Oh God.